And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Friday, everybody. We've made it to the weekend. We've got all of your crazy Houston Rockets news right here on an action-packed episode of the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Dave DeFore, joined by our Houston Rockets beat writer, Kelly Eco, and we got Andrew Schlecht pushing buttons behind the scenes. Guys, don't miss out on this NBA season. It's going to be a doozy. This short turnaround, obviously the entire pandemic, is going to make it such a unique season. You're not going to want to miss any of our coverage over at The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding. And not only will you get a subscription for yourself, but you can gift one. That's right. Buy one, gift one. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding to sign up today. Coming up on today's show, it's all Houston here. Kelly, we got to start with the James Harden. I mean, do we call it a debacle at this point? Because it certainly feels like one. Yeah, it's a saga. There you go. Even better. So what's the latest? I know he's there. He's taking his COVID test. He needs six straight. Luckily, it's not the playoffs. So, you know, what happens now?
So today he was able to have an individual workout with lead assistant coach John Lucas. He spoke to John Wall earlier. He said hello to Coach Silas. It's going to be a day-by-day thing. I think he's not going to play tomorrow's game, obviously, because of the six COVID tests. But he could be with the team on Monday. It's just a weird situation given how, like, the whole him coming late and, is he going to show up at all? But I think it's a thing that they're going to take every day. A little progress here, a little progress there. The most important thing is how can he fit in with the team after he does come in? Because, you know, as you know, it is training camp, and they have been doing some things to move away from last season into how Steven Silas wants to run his team.
Okay, but is it realistic to expect this team to change up everything given the short turnaround? Yeah.
I mean, so obviously with a good number of guys that were there last season, there's going to be a natural tendency to lean on stuff you know in the past. But Coach Silas, I think it's kind of unfair to Coach Silas because he's not given a lot of time to kind of wean them off of the old system. But he does want to play up-tempo. He does want to have more ball movement, less isolation. Obviously, a lot of that's easier said than done because James hasn't been in practice. But, you know, talking to the guys, they have spoken very highly of Coach Silas. There is a lot of variety in the offense right now. They're able to do different things, pick, pop, read and react, you know, just steady 1-2 actions. I think a lot of that will make, you know, players like Daniel House better, players like Eric Gordon better, you know, even John Wall, and because he hasn't played in 2 years, DeMarcus Cousins, Christian Wood. I think there's a lot of optimism, you know, going into tomorrow's game, but, you know, it is training camp. Every team looks good in training camp.
That's true. Well, probably not every team, but we're not privy to what's happening in Orlando right now. So we got news today that James Harden has added a couple of teams to his wish list. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so everyone knows the Brooklyn and Philadelphia links, but there are more teams that Harden would in fact play for, you know, if he was to get traded. Miami Heat, Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, when you hear those two teams, they have their own systems, and the natural tendency is to think, oh, Harden will come in and dominate the ball. But realistically speaking, I don't think that's going to be the case in any team he goes to. Even seeing how he's played the last 3-4 years, it was a bit out of necessity and a bit out of, you know, Harden just being so damn good at playing that style of play. But, you know, the Bucks and the Heat, two different team cultures, team-first cultures. You have to buy in over there. It'd be funny playing with Giannis, but I think some of the stuff with him and Giannis is kind of overblown in the media a bit, honestly. I think it's more of a, you know, a competitive rivalry. Both of those guys are high IQ guys. They want to win. They want to win the MVPs. They want to lead their teams. Mm-hmm. Now, if James was to play with Giannis or Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo, I think you would see a much different Harden, kind of like the old Harden we used to see, but turbocharged.
Yeah, I mean, Harden was a great off-the-ball player early in his career. Yeah. But, you know, he was also playing with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Right.
And we saw him play with Russ last year, and it was the Harden that we've grown accustomed to, not some throwback version. So, I wonder, like, how much stock do you put into these teams thinking that Harden's going to come in and be able to be a different player?
I mean, I put a decent amount of stock because losing does things to you. You know, after you've lost for so many years, you know, insanity would be thinking you could play the same way and get a different result. Now, there are some things that Harden has to change about himself. Obviously, he could be a much better off-ball threat. He could be a decent cutter, you know, a screener. Just be more involved when he doesn't have the ball. That would make things a lot easier for whoever he's playing with, be it John Wall, be it, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, any team he goes to. And also, the biggest thing is the Rockets don't have to – they can play this thing slowly.
Right. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Because he's under contract.
They have leverage.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I wonder how you feel about the idea that he's actually doing this stuff so publicly as a way to try to garner some leverage in a weird way. Like,
yeah,
it looks so bad for Houston that they're just going to ship him off just to get rid of him. I think that that's a silly idea that right. would work. But do you put any stock into the attempt?
I mean, look. James is a quiet guy. Mm-hmm. He's reserved. He keeps to himself. But right now, a lot of stuff is being said about him. We haven't heard anything from him directly. But, you know, he wants a different situation. He does this kind of thing every year where he'll go to the front office and say, you know, build me a championship team or get me to a championship team. Now, they brought in Chris Paul. You know, they made the trade for Chris Paul. They stayed for 2 years. He said, get me to a championship team or build me one. They brought in Russ. They fundamentally changed everything about their offense to fit that system, to fit Russ and small ball. It didn't work. Now James wants out. Russ is gone. You know, it's pretty funny how everything just fell apart when you go back to where they were 3 years ago, you know, fighting with Golden State for the NBA throne. But, you know, I guess shit happens if you want to put it like that.
It definitely does. It certainly does, especially in Houston. Well, all right, let's talk about someone else they brought in. They got a new coach, Steven Silas, longtime assistant coach, very well liked and well respected. Yeah. I mean, you won't hear anyone saying anything bad about Steven Silas. And universally, not just in the league, but also in the media, it's been a lot of people feeling Steven Silas getting his due. Finally getting a shot right. to show that he can be the head coach somewhere. He gets to Houston, and all of a sudden, this is not the job he signed up for.
Well, look. Typically during an interview process, you know, coach is going to ask questions. The Rockets will ask them questions back. Steven Silas knew, you know, Mike D'Antoni, the manner in which he had left, you know, everything that was going on with the team. But there was always going to be the possibility of bringing him in because he's somebody that, you know, Russ spoke up for. He's someone that, you know, James, you know, was in favor of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are guys that obviously you want to play for different coaches here and there. But Steven Silas is a guy who you ask anyone around the league is highly respected. He's been there. He's done that. So it's kind of unfortunate putting him because he's become the unofficial spokesman of this Harden saga. Getting questions every day about his whereabouts, his updates, have they spoken? It's really unfortunate to see. But, you know, he is somebody who's extremely bright, extremely talented. The players, they love him. And you'll never hear a bad thing about him as a person. Now, the biggest thing for Steven Silas is, can he build that trust and bond with James? Because it's gone up to a pretty bad start.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Well, it's just funny to me that the newest guy in the building is the one having to answer all the tough questions.
Exactly.
And and it, if that isn't indicative of poor management, I don't know what it is. It really reminds me of Brett Brown under Sam Hinkie in Philadelphia, and some of the things that Hinkie was criticized for was that he would never show up to take the tough questions, and it was always Brett Brown. This isn't the start of things to come, and it's only because of the weird situation we're all trying to navigate through. But this team, they're in training camp. Players are showing up. You just mentioned John Wall. I mean, clearly, this is an important season for John Wall. It's an important season for the Rockets because it could go either way. John Wall hadn't played basketball in 23 months. Actually, now it's 2 years. And the two seasons before that, he played a total of around 70 games. So he hasn't really been healthy for four seasons. And now the scuttlebutt was those two injured seasons were directly caused by the bone spurs and the Achilles issue that cropped up because of it. And so you could really condense that injury to 4 years. So 70 games over 4 years with 2 years straight missed. What in the hell can we expect out of John Wall this season?
I think John Wall is if you're playing fantasy, he's the perfect buy low candidate. He said he's been 100% since March. You know, so if we're going to take his word for it, the Rockets want to be not overly cautious with his minutes, so there won't be like a restriction, but they don't want to. Him and DeMarcus Cousins, they don't want to give them too long of stretches in games. You know, you want to manage that kind of game time smartly. He hasn't played in 2 years, and the ones before that, he wasn't healthy at all. So there's going to be a tendency to be worried about, you know, the load early on. But, you know, hearing him speak today, he says it's 100%. He does said he doesn't think about past injuries when he gets on the court. It says it's going to be pretty emotional for him, given everything he's gone through. But he's prepared for everything that is to come. So, you know, it really depends on what kind of version are the Rockets getting. In your opinion, do you see Wall as potentially being 80% of that guy he used to be, 75% of that guy he used to be?
I mean, who knows, right? Like the Achilles, we always say, you know, you just can't trust a guy coming back from Achilles. Seth Partnow wrote a great article at The Athletic about Achilles tears. I mean, this one, his was kind of looking at Klay Thompson, but I think it's instructive for all of these guys, Kevin Durant, John Wall, all these guys coming back from Achilles tears, Rodney Hood even. There certainly is a drop-off, no matter what. There's just going to be. That Achilles is not coming back the same. But how much can he compensate by advancing other skills? Like, is his shooting actually going to be better? And now it was in the lead up to missing the two seasons, he was a better shooter, but can he be a better shooter next to James Harden if Harden's there? And then, you know, does he have the burst to be able to create the separation and attack the basket the way he used to? And that's the stuff that really matters for John Wall and his success. As far as the words coming out of Houston right now in the training camp, it does seem like his leadership has instantly been a positive for them.
I think that's kind of the thing you see with point guards. You know, with Russ, they heard that about Russ. They heard that about Chris Paul. John Wall is of that same mold of a guy that's going to be talking. He's going to be, you know, telling his screeners what side he wants to have the screen set on. He's going to be telling the shooters where he wants them positioned. He's someone that's going to be hands-on all the time. And I think for the Rockets, that culture needs that. They need somebody who's going to be, you know, in their ear constantly communicating, because – you know, last season was to put in layman's terms, it was a turmoil. There's a lot of turmoil going on behind the scenes. People weren't on the same page at all. And I think bringing in John Wall and what he's accustomed to, playing with Bradley Beal for so long, there's a partnership there. Now, obviously, behind the scenes or in the media or whatever you want to call it, there were rumors of a light tug of war between, Brad and John. But those guys have always said that the two are very close and there's no issues between them. So now I want to see how that carries with James, because with Russ, him and James had extremely high uses of the ball. I think 34%, both of them over 30%. John Wall in his last season was 24.4%. So he's not as score first as Russ is. He's more of a pass first, playmaker, floor general. So I think on the floor there's potential of a better fit. The only question is going to be his health and, like you said, the catch and shoot percentage.
A little bit of news that's non-Houston, but you're here, so I'm going to make you talk about it, Kelly. Paul George signs an extension, five years, $226 million with a player option for the 24-25 season that, I'll just go ahead now and put money on the fact that he's going to take that extension. I think he'll be like 34, 35. Yeah, he's probably going to take that money. Kelly, just right off the top of your head, I think this is a great move, right? You've got the stability now. You're not worried about going into the summer and having Paul George and Kawhi opt out.
Right.
Paul George is locked in. I wonder if maybe this is a precursor to a Kawhi extension.
Now, I've heard a lot of people, just talking to people that I know, saying this is a terrible deal. Paul George is trash, blah, blah, blah.
Those people don't know what they're talking about.
Where are you getting this information from? Because, the bubble is what the bubble was. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use that crazy scenario in the NBA history and comport it to, a whole body of work that we've seen from Paul George. Paul George is a top 15 player on his, give or take, whatever you want to call it. That's a good deal. He's a fantastic two-way player. He'll only get better having a year of playing with Kawhi under his belt, because that's not easy. Mm-hmm. He had to adjust his style, to play with Kawhi. And last season was his best ever three-point shooting percentage of his career. He shot over 40% from three. Attempts a game.
He's one of the best shooters in the NBA. Look at the diversity of his shot profile, the way that he can do it as a catch-and-shoot guy, coming off screens, off the dribble, out of the pick-and-roll. He's obviously a fantastic player. Now, has he had some high-profile playoff failures? Certainly.
Of course.
And last year was one of them. But, so is James Harden. So is Chris Paul. So is all these other players. Now, he's easy to mock because, he goes on podcasts or does interviews and says stuff that we know is not true. And so we mock him. But, you look at this deal and you look at the landscape of the NBA, you can't help but think that the Clippers did a good job, in particular, of ensuring continuity going into next season. And now their big focus is going to be, getting Kawhi Leonard to buy in and stick around. So this is a big first step toward that.
I think they had a solid offseason. People want to give them – I've seen grades like C-, C+, but I think they've had a pretty solid, summer, if you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Keeping Paul, keeping Kawhi, bringing back Morris, getting Serge. Obviously you want to see them with their point guard depth get a little bit, more robust. I'm not really too high on Reggie Jackson. But, it could have been a lot worse. I'll say you that.
Yeah, I don't think that they're a done roster at this point. I expect them to be very active at the trade deadline. But that Serge Ibaka deal, it's one of the best ones that anyone made in the offseason on paper. Let's see how it works out once we start playing the games. But I do like that move a lot. I still think that they're below the Lakers. But I think that they at least held ground, which is important in the West, because a couple of teams lost. I think Denver dropped a step because they lost Jeremy Grant. Only takes one guy to really change your fortune once it comes playoff time. Kelly, thanks for coming on the show, man. That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about all our other shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. Of course, we got the Athletic NBA show where you can find me every Friday for Nerdist She Wrote. We've got No Dunks. We've got House of Strauss. Plus, we have over a dozen team-specific shows from some of your favorite athletic beat writers. Don't forget to follow the shows that you want to listen to on the app so you get notifications. And listen to them ad-free if you're a subscriber. Don't forget, go to theathletic.com/dailyding. Buy one, gift one. Get it now before it goes away. Thank you guys for waking up with us. Kelly, do you know what to do here? Ding, ding.